Welcome to our special episode of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And in this episode, we're going to present our end of year awards for the best storylines and characters of 2012.
Yeah.
Yay! So we decided to do our own special soap awards, and what better time to do it than at the end of the Christmas break when we've got lots of time to get on with it.
Yeah, and all our listeners have got loads of time to listen to many hours of us over one weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So, without further ado, let's get started.
Yeah, our first award is the AOP Award, which goes to the best new character on the street this year.
So the nominees are Milton Fanshawe.
Yeah, he was brought in towards the beginning of the year, I think, to come and meet Sylvia face to face for the first time because they'd been chatting over the internet, and he had his big plans to turn Roy's Rolls into a beef encounter restaurant.
Yeah. Rob Donovan, who is Carla's brother.
Yeah.
Who has been scowling most of the year and meddling in people's affairs and doing wrong to Eva.
Yeah.
And Gloria Price, who, of course, is
Stella's mum. Yeah, she came in September for a couple of months, made a big entrance to the street.
Yeah, she definitely made a splash. And then she left in shame.
Yeah.
Great. Mandy Kamara.
Yeah, Lloyd's current love interest.
And ex-flame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jenna Kamara.
Yeah, Mandy's daughter and Sophie's possible flame.
Yeah.
Flame to be. So, those are our nominees, and the winner of the Conversation Street 2012 AOP Award is Gloria Price.
Yay!
Yeah, Gloria is played by Sue Johnston. She was in Corrie from the 5th of September to the 5th of November, but I think we are all expecting her to come back, even though we don't know anything about whether she will.
Yeah, she's still on the character profile site on the ITV Corrie website, so we assume that she's still a cast member. I think she just went off to film some Christmas specials of something, so I expect she'll be back in the new year.
So really, to us, it was an obvious choice because Milton really was just a cameo, I would call it.
Yeah.
Rob, bless him, has not come into his own yet, I don't think.
No, I don't think anyone really likes Rob that much.
And although Mandy and Jenna are very likeable characters, they certainly did not have that Corrie colourful kind of...
No, they had lots of kind of... They weren't always likable as well. Well, I think Mandy's great now, but... She didn't have the best of entrances. Unlike Gloria, who made a really big impact when she came in.
Yes.
She was kind of in the middle of the night or the first thing in the morning, banging on the Rover's door. Ken comes out in his kimono from next door.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, oh, I like your kimono.
Yeah, I like your dress.
Yeah. So she's definitely a brassy Corrie lass.
Yeah, she carries on the tradition of kind of
big,
loud,
bold women.
Yeah, which is just what the street needs.
It really,
really
does. She should come back as soon as possible. She's also a weaver of colourful stories because when she arrived, she told everybody that she was on the run from Spanish gangsters.
Yeah, I think I believed her as well, but looking back on her, I think it's obviously a tall tale.
Yeah, she's kind of charming, isn't she, really? Because you do believe everything she says. But it turns out...
Stella doesn't.
No, it turned out she'd actually burned down the dry cleaners where she was working. And she really wanted to unite everybody in the family.
Yeah, that was really nice, because one of the first things she did when she came in was to try and get a big family get-together, including Carl. She seemed to want to get Carl and Stella back together
again. She
wasn't
happy that they weren't together anymore.
No, and we thought that she was had some horrible illness to begin with, didn't we?
Well, she pretended to Lewis that she was terminally ill, and we were saying, well, it was me, going, oh, well, she said she wanted everyone to be together when she arrived. Perhaps that's the reason.
Yeah.
But no, she's just...
That was just a scheme as well.
Yeah, exactly. So she conned the Connor.
Yeah. What did you think of the Pub of the Year storyline?
Oh, it was kind of silly, but it was also very Corrie, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't the best storyline, but it was comedic.
She made it, didn't she?
Oh yeah, definitely. It wouldn't if it had just been sort of Stella doing it, it wouldn't have been as funny
half
at all.
Funny,
no. And the whole awards ceremony evening which was, I think was Gloria's last episode, was a bit farcical.
Yes.
And then they had the landlady from the Weddy Arms in, and she's hardly been in it since. I thought they were introducing her as a proper rival to the Rovers, but I hope to see a bit more of her.
Yeah, so she was Lewis basically turned on her, and this is the moment when he decided he's fed up with being a mild-mannered little house husband.
So he
exposed her and manipulated her and showed off exactly why he's been so successful as a con man all those years.
Yeah.
And she ended up having to leave with a tail behind her, legs in the back of a taxi.
Yeah. But he's a really great character. That mean, like we said, there's not been a load of new characters this year, but she's definitely stood out for us.
Yes.
So that is our first award.
So the second award is the Top Lad Award, which will be given to the male character who's entertained us the most this year. And we've decided to give this to the guy who has given us the best storylines.
Yeah, so the nominees for our Top Lad are Steve McDonald.
Who is obviously the gurning lord of taxis on the street and also nefarious serial dater of many women.
Yeah, particularly going back and forth between Tracy and Michelle, which is what he's been doing this year a lot. Yep. Tyrone Dobbs, lovable Tyrone, who's obviously been the big storyline, has been the domestic abuse this year.
Ken Barlow, what can you say about Ken? But he's always got to be in the Top Lad for consideration because of his Kendi storyline this year, where Wendy Crozier came back from the grave to to woo him once more and test his relationship with Deirdre. And finally,
Peter Barlow,
who's returned after leaving in disgrace.
Yeah, well, at the beginning of the year, he was kind of fighting Leanne for custody of Simon, wasn't he? And went off with Carla, and his alcoholic days seem to be behind him.
He's come back as a very changed man.
Yeah.
But whether that change is permanent, we do not know.
Yeah.
And the winner of the award for Top Lad 2012 is Tyrone Dobbs.
Hooray! I think that was an easy one.
We're going to get to the top last in a minute, but when you look at the nominees for Top Lad and Top Last, there's much stronger competition for Top Last.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and
Corrie just writes better storylines for women.
Yeah, the women are always at the forefront of Coronation Street. It was almost difficult to get the nominees for the Top Lad because it was so obvious to us that Tyrone was going to win it because he's been half of what's kept us watching the most this year. Alan Hulsell's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, exactly. So you might think he is a bit wet.
Yeah, because he's very kind. He's not kind of a tough guy, is he? And he's not kind of the handsome, rugged business owner like a lot of the other kind of men on the street. He's just kind of a guy next door, normal.
Exactly. Well, some would call him weak because of his, because he sticks with Kirsty.
Yeah, and he takes the continual beatings that he's had this year.
Exactly. But really, now he's got a baby, it's more a case of a bit of bravery, I think, because he's sticking up for his family. That's what he wants.
Yeah, he wants his family because he had such an awful upbringing with Jackie, and he's been desperate for a family.
Yeah, and he thought he had one with Molly, and that didn't turn out to be wrong. And now he thought he had one with Kirsty, but no.
No, well, I think it was quite close to the beginning of the year when he and Kirsty got engaged, and kind of from then on, he had his sights set on getting married. And we saw that when he met the vicar a few weeks ago, how strongly he feels about wanting to get married and settle down and have a family, which is kind of old traditional values that you don't see from many other male characters, I guess.
That's true, actually. Nobody else on the street, apart from Tommy, but he's...
Nick agreed to get married to Leanne, but it's not like he craves marriage or family life or settling down or anything necessarily, is it?
No.
Yeah, and he's also, as well as putting up with his beatings for the sake of a family life, he's also stood up to Kirsty's dad once or twice over the year because unbeknownst to Tyrone, Kirsty's dad is a bit of a wife beater, and mm-hmm. Tyrone invited him to first Kirsty's birthday party, and then later on in the year the dad turned back up again, and because this was when Kirsty's mum had run off, and he was like, Where is she? You've got her, haven't you? And Tyrone stood up to him, this big imposing man, and kind of pushed him out of the street, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And this could have been the moment when the whole storyline turned on a dime, and Kirsty might have seen the error of her ways after watching her dad be pushed out of the house. But sadly, no, she blamed Tyrone for everything and threw a silver rattle.
Through all this, he hasn't hit her back as well, I think we have to remember as well, because he accidentally pushed her over once, and that kind of got more people on her side. I think, like, Deirdre found or just discovered that Kirsty had been pushed over and she had a cut on her head or something. But I mean, some people may have snapped and slapped her back or punched her back or something, but we all know that Tyrone's not like that.
No, exactly. And perhaps the biggest twist of this storyline has been his affair that he started now with Fizz.
Yeah.
And I think that although we are against affairs in general, we can forgive Tyrone for this.
Yeah, because...
because his heart is yearning for a woman who truly loves him.
Yeah,
and also
Fizz is obviously much better suited to him. And it's not a proper affair, because they're not properly married yet. It's not an adulterous affair, at least, you can say.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to adultery, it's like a 6.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope to see a lot more of Tyrone next year. He's always been a favourite character of mine, and it's been wonderful having him on our screen so much in 2012.
Exactly.
So, thirdly, of course, we have to have a Top Lass Award for the best female character. Again, this isn't necessarily the most likeable character, but more the women we've loved to watch the most in her appearances in 2012.
So, the nominees are Leanne Barlow.
Yeah, she's had a bit of a year this year, hasn't she? Trying to get hold of Simon, keep custody of him. And I think that this was at the beginning of the year, Leanne and Peter were still dating, but Leanne found out about Peter's secret affair with Carla, and from then on she's just totally despised him until recently.
She's gone a bit mad.
He has gone a bit mad recently.
Carla Connor.
Yeah, all involved in the same storyline. That was the conclusion of the Frank Foster storyline at the beginning of the year.
She's been the raven-haired beauty who's been done wrong to on the street.
Indeed.
This year. And Fizz Stape.
Yeah, not been in it too much this year, but it's kind of come into her own with this
domestic abuse storyline. Yeah, she's found her role, hasn't she?
Definitely, yeah.
And of course, the nefarious Kirsty Soames.
Definitely not what we would say is like a nicest female character, but she's certainly been, she's made her mark on the street this year.
Yeah, definitely. Kylie Platt.
Yeah.
Of course, Becky's sister, who is left on the street to pick up the reins where Becky left off as being the sort of quick-witted, crafty.
Yeah, she's another. She's also another one who came in as kind of a bit of a villain, but they toned her down and softened her up a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And finally, Tina McIntyre.
Yeah,
uterus for hire.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to have been off our screen since she joined the show. I don't know how Michelle Keegan does it, really, because she's never far from the big storylines. And this year we've obviously had the surrogacy storyline and even the domestic abuse she's been embroiled in a little bit.
Stuck her all right in it, didn't she?
Yeah.
And the winner of the 2012 Conversation State Award for Top Lass goes to Kirsty Soames.
Of course.
Can't believe it.
This award ceremony isn't going to be totally dominated by the domestic abuse storyline, we'll tell you now. But I think it had to be Kirsty, really, played by the wonderful Natalie Gumede. She's just been so very believable as a villain. I didn't like her when she first came in. I thought, because I was always like, oh, Tyrone should always go off with Maria or Fizz. And then when this new lady came in, who didn't actually seem to be very nice, I was like, oh, I hope they don't pair them off together for long. She doesn't seem suited for Tyrone at all. But
how right you were.
Yeah, how right I was. This is turned into a really great storyline.
Yeah, I mean, she is so totally convincing, isn't she? She gets that look in her eyes.
Yeah.
But the good thing about her is that she can play it where she's so lovely one minute and so convincing that she really loves Tyrone, and then the next second she gets that little glint in her eyes and she goes off on one.
Yeah,
completely.
It doesn't take her very long to snap.
And she screams and shouts and
throws and hits.
Yeah, no matter what she's doing, you totally believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's feeling
everything. And she's able to be very convincing to the other people on the street as well.
I just love the way she's so manipulative. I love manipulative characters, they're brilliant.
Yeah, it's good. Do you remember, was it after she got Fizz's hand sewn up, she was kind of walking down the street and everyone was on Kirsty's side and she gives this kind of sly smirk to Fizz and like say, oh, I won this one again.
Yeah, I mean, she's been, from the start of the year, she's just been terrible to everybody. She had a vendetta against Tina at the beginning of the year,
I think she thought that Tina and Tyrone were possibly having an affair, because this I think at the very beginning of the year, Tina was still living or lodging with the two of them.
and she ended up getting herself in a car accident.
Oh yeah,
when
yeah.
She was chasing her in the police car.
Yeah, yeah. And then that was when she found out that she was pregnant as well. The doctor in the hospital told her that she was pregnant.
Now, she was a bit of a hero, I thought, when she exposed the local councillor.
Yeah.
This was when it was to do with Terry's schemes to get the... He was giving backhanders to somebody, wasn't he, to scheme in for the
club? Yeah, exactly. So Kirsty used her...
Access
as a police officer, or she might have been she wasn't an ex-police officer then, wasn't she? She was a police officer, and pretended Tyrone was her police officer partner, and they went into the offices and were searching around, and then this councillor and Terry walk in there, and then that's how she eventually lost her job, and I think that was what first led to the first beating, because Kirsty blamed Tyrone for it all.
Also, a lot of her identity came from the fact that she was a police officer. And still now, she still misses it.
Yeah, yeah. She likes to be kind of in control. She likes to... Yeah. I think she represents the strong arm of the law quite
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. So it wasn't until late May when we met her parents, who came to a birthday party, that we saw exactly what the vulnerable side of her was. Even though it was swiftly followed by another beating for Tyrone, she is sort of revealed what her home life was like, and perhaps a bit of a motivation behind why she is how she is.
Yeah, and there's no excuse really, but you can kind of see the reason.
Well, we said all along, is she sympathetic for that exact reason?
Yeah, so I hope to find out a little bit more about her background in the new year and see what happens with her mum and her dad.
Yeah, she also helped Tina out when she had Rick the loan shark arrested, but really that's not been the defining part of her character. It's been jealousy and
hitting Tyrone with bits of Hoover. Oh, when she smashed that picture of Jack as well, I was like, no, I think people across the country were like, no, not that picture of Jack.
So she found out that Ty was fixing Fizz's boiler while she was having Braxton Hicks contractions, and that was when she smashed the picture.
Yeah. Does this link to what's happening at the moment with Fizz's boiler playing up, do you think, or is that just a coincidence or unimaginativeness from the writers? So, in the beginning of September, Ruby was born, and that was after she'd had another scrap with Tina in the pub. Tina had pushed her over, and then again, everyone was on Kirsty's side.
She has managed to alienate two major characters on the street, Fizz and Tina, by having them get involved.
Yeah.
So, it was on the 1st of October when we realised how manipulative she had been towards Tyrone, because she didn't even register his name on the birth certificate, which is what's causing him...
trapping him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Making him stick with her.
And then she sewed up Fizz's hand. Awesome. Great character.
Yeah. Considering the fact that a year and a half ago, I really didn't like Kirsty at all, the fact that we're now saying that she's the top lass... what a change around, and even though the domestic abuse storyline can't go on forever, I hope that in some way they can either keep Kirsty in the show, either as a reformed character, or as I don't know, but it'd be such a shame to lose her.
We said earlier that Kylie's reformed, so, and so did Becky, so maybe, yeah, I don't know.
So, our fourth award is a very special, uniquely Coronation Street Award, which celebrates the street's love of red-haired characters. Over the air, ginger-haired characters have held a very special place on the street. We've had Elsie Tanner, Hilda Ogden is a bit ginger. That's so many, too many to list. So we thought it was only right to have an award for the fiery lads and lasses of Weatherfield, with our Flaming Nora Award for the best red-haired character. Anyone who's been ginger in the street this year is up for nomination. We've had four this year.
Yeah, Rita Tanner, Chesney Brown, Fizz Stape, and Gary Windass. And I haven't said anything about their personalities and characters there, because we're just nominating them because they've got ginger hair.
Yeah, but they've all played fairly big roles this year. Yeah. Rita's had her wedding, Chesney's had his... Well, maybe he's not been in it that much.
Exactly, yeah.
Gary Windass has had his surrogacy, moaning on about having a baby. Yeah, but the obvious winner for us this year has been Fizz Stape. Hooray! No, this is... when I was looking at see what Fizz has been doing this year, I was actually quite surprised to see she's been under 100 episodes, and that's actually her lowest episode count since the first year she came into it.
But she's made a splash in those 100 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it until even fairly recently, she's been just in the background or in the factory, not really doing much or going on the cake run.
She's been recovering from her massive storyline with John Stape.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge storyline up in last year and the year before that. She was quite a big player then, and she had a lot of the street turn against her for that. So she's been
particularly Sally and Co. Mm. She's kind and thoughtful, and like most women on the street, she has a good front.
Yeah.
She's very strong in appearance, but we see the vulnerable side of her as the viewers.
Yeah.
In her private moments.
Yeah, and she's been kind of the lifeline to Tyrone recently, which is sort of what's really made her stand out. And
yeah, she's just been supportive of a lot of characters, isn't she?
Yeah.
Jasmine and Katie needed her support, and not in the same way.
Yeah, and it's just been really interesting, because I think this year has been Tyrone's probably most frequent number of appearances, and to have him paired up with somebody who's been on her least number of appearances, it's been good to get her out of that, and now they're going to pair them up together in 2013. I hope we'll see more of them as a couple, properly settling down.
Well, I mean, she's really stuck her neck out for him with this, isn't she?
So maybe like she'll move into his house, and then Chesney and Katie will keep the one they're in, maybe, if they can afford it, and then we'll get a sort of a proper family for Fizz and Tyrone next year.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Then they can have little ginger babies.
Oh, and then there'll be more nominees.
Yeah.
So, next award, where would Coronation Street be without its villains?
Mm-hmm.
We're singling out one baddie this year to give them the Wrongen Award for nefarious deeds on the cobbles.
Yeah, so who are our nominations for our Wrongens?
Frank Foster.
Oh,
he's a Wrongen, isn't
he? He's a Wrongen.
Yeah. Kirsty Soames. Oh,
Wrongen.
She's a Wrongen, yeah. Well, we don't need to go into those two, but Terry Duckworth came back, didn't he, and punched his son in the face.
Yeah, he's been a long-running Wrong. That's a bit of a tongue twister. A long-running Wrongen.
Yep. Tracy McDonald, who obviously was embroiled in Becky's leaving and stealing Steve away and pretending to be...
Yeah, and pretending to love Ryan.
Yeah,
Nobody could actually love him, because he's such an oink.
Eva Price, Scarlet Woman.
Yeah.
Going around.
Manipulating.
Yeah.
She put chili in the hot pot. And
oh, yeah.
She's just doing whatever she can to try and either get back with Nick or pay back Nick.
Yeah, she was trying to smash in his car at one point, wasn't she? But she was stopped.
Mm.
And Lewis Archer, silver-tongued, silver-haired con man, who's back on top form after being rejected by Audrey.
Yes, he came back early on in the year, because I thought he'd left for quite a while, but they brought him back, and he's been being a Wrongen for a lot of the year. The winner of the Conversation Street 2012 Wrongen Award is Frank Foster. We didn't want to have Kirsty win this award. Two reasons. One, we've kind of already talked about her. And two, because we still see that there is somewhere in there a vulnerable, redeemable feature about her, which there wasn't for Frank.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you compare what the others have done compared to what Frank did, I mean, Eva is evil, but she's on a totally different scale.
Small scale.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, last year, there was the rape, the arrest, and then when he appointed his mum Anne as his proxy at Underworld.
Yeah, so this is all... I mean, a lot of what made him a Wrongen was in previous years.
But this was the year that he finally...
Met his comeuppance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he started off his own business venture, and he was stealing away all of Carla's business associates, or trying to...
Started a relationship with Sally.
Ill-fated. Sally saw the power. I think she quite likes.
Went to her head, didn't it?
Yeah.
And he also hired a private investigator to follow Carla and Peter to prove they were having an affair, so that when Carla spoke at Frank's trial, she would be undermined by that.
And that's what ended up happening, wasn't it? Because his mum had the photos, and they didn't use it in the trial. And I remember Frank's barrister saying, why didn't we use these photos as evidence? And he was like, I've got a different way I'm going to use these. And then Anne brings them out and sort of sneakily shows them to Leanne just when Peter's on the stand. And it all kicks off from there. Peter's
all kicked off.
Yeah, Peter's forced to admit that he is having an affair with Carla, and Frank walks free.
naughty.
So everything seemed to be quite good for him. Usually when the villains go to trial, they get sent down, but not this time.
He managed to paint himself as a victim.
And
he moved his machinist into Underworld and offered Carla some money, a ridiculously low amount, to buy her out.
Yeah,
she carried on. She refused.
Yeah, they had like two businesses going on under the same roof, and that didn't last very long. Eventually, Sally found out about Frank's plans, but I think she still stuck with him until he started dating Jenny, I think her name was, the solicitor. And she was pretending to be on Carla's side, and she pretended to help Carla with this amazing offer from the factory. But then it was actually a big trick. And then when Carla signed the bit of paper, and I think Michelle had found out Frank's plots, but it was too late to stop Carla from signing it.
Anne all along was not happy about this, and she sort of recruited Sally as well, and this just added to the amount of suspects there were when eventually Frank was murdered.
That was a really tense moment when he got his comeuppance, because you saw him up in the factory speaking with Carla, and you didn't actually get to see what happened. He admitted that he raped her, and then you kind of see her looking out of the corner of her eye to this bottle, and you think, is she going to hit him over the head with it? But then the next thing we see is Sally discovering him dead on the factory floor.
Well, it was Julie and Sean discovered Sally discovering him.
Yeah, so it looked so Sally was a suspect. Kevin was a suspect because of how Frank treated Sally. Peter was
obviously
a suspect because he said that he was going to kill him.
In the end,
it was Anne, and I think that was obvious right from the start, because ITV did this whole thing about the whodunit, and Anne wasn't even a suspect, and we didn't think that any of the actual suspects would be leaving the programme, so that was a bit of a damp squib for me, to be honest. But
still,
his undoing as a storyline was still exciting, and it didn't change the fact that he was definitely a wrong'un.
Ooh, Frank.
Who's it going to be next year? So our sixth and final character category will go to the best exit. The Ta-ra award will be given to the person whose final scenes gave us the best dose of drama on Corrie this year.
The nominees are Anne Foster.
Yeah, no, she had a really good exit. She went a little bit mad and she knocked Sally out, and she was trying to flee, but
she had a knife on Carla, and in the end Kevin had to come and
tackle her down.
Yeah, exactly. Frank Foster, who we've just spoken about, who was murdered by his mum. And Amber, of course, Dev's daughter,
who came back
from uni and annoyed Sunita.
There was quite a good kind of slanging match between her and Sunita before she left.
Yeah.
Went in the back of a taxi.
Oh, Leslie Kershaw, the tragic figure of Paul's wife, who succumbing to Alzheimer's.
Killed by cheese on toast.
Becky McDonald, my all-time favourite character on the street, who left in triumph after undoing
Tracy and
Steve's
wedding.
Wendy Papadopoulos.
Yeah, now I put her in there, even though she wasn't a proper long-term character, but she deserves to be mentioned,
she had a bit
I think.
Of medal, didn't she?
Yeah, she left with a tail between her legs when Ken decided that he was going to stick with Deirdre. Good on Ken.
Yeah, good on Deirdre. Rosie Webster, who went on to make a better life for herself in Big Smoke.
In reality TV, life and Coronation Street. Yeah.
And of course, Betty Williams.
Yeah, so
the
actress died last year, but it was only recognised in the street this year.
Yeah.
And they had her funeral and brought back her son Gordon to give her a good send off. And the Conversation Street 2012 Ta-ra Award goes to Becky McDonald.
Yay, Becky!
Oh, how could it be anyone else? Her leaving episode won the best single episode on the British Soap Awards this year, and it really was a cracking way to send her off.
Yeah, exactly. She's been my favourite character on the street.
Why?
Because she's so sneaky, and she's just, I think it's the actress. Every scene she's in, she just livened up the screen, I thought. She was just so unpredictable. She had that touch of vulnerability about her.
Yeah, she almost like Kirsty in a way. She was another hard woman that
had a soft side,
softer
that only
side
we could see.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened when she left then?
Well, she was disgraced by Tracy, who told everyone that Becky had pushed her down the stairs, and that had caused her to miscarry Steve's twins.
Yeah, but we knew that hadn't happened.
No. So
that was last year that that happened, I think, wasn't it?
So her final episode was at the beginning of this year and took place on the day of Steve and Tracy's wedding. She tried to convince Steve one last time that she wasn't lying and Tracy was the wrong'un, but he didn't listen to her. So her and Kylie went to the ceremony, and she had been planning to sort of stand up during the bit where they're like, does anyone know any reason?
Yeah.
And she decided not to, because she knew that if Steve married Tracy and then discovered the truth, that would make revenge even better.
All the sweeter.
Which is another reason why I love her so much.
Yeah, so she storms into the Rovers, doesn't she, during the reception.
Yeah.
Waving this bit of paper that proved that Tracy had already lost the babies before she fell down the stairs.
Yeah, well, that was her wedding present to Steve.
Yeah.
She gave him after he made his speech.
Yeah, she's then, like, now you're chained to the cow, this is even better.
Yeah, exactly. So she had an emotional goodbye with Kylie, Roy and Hayley.
Oh, yeah, that was sad, because Roy and Hayley have been like the surrogate parents for her since she's been back, hasn't it? And
yeah.
I'm really glad that they brought her in
it was great
the final episode.
Also, because Becky recognised Roy and Hayley, because I think Roy and Hayley get ignored a lot of the time, so it's lovely to have a character who knew their true role.
Yeah, but they're kind of characters of fun, really. They're ridiculed by half of the street, but Becky,
but
who could have so easily carried on and taken and sort of made fun of them, sort
yeah.
of
she knew
saw
their,
them what they
yeah.
were.
And she also, she did right by Kylie, because she left Max with him and a load of money that she got.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about her exit was the fact that she was going off with this Danny bloke, and she'd only met him like a week before or something.
I was going to say this.
She's found the love of her life, apparently, but she didn't really know him. And I wish that they'd had a little bit more time to develop him as a character before jetting off to Barbados.
Part of what happened was she fell in love with Billy, his son, because she loves kids so much. She always wanted her own family.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And she saw Danny and Billy, and she saw this ready-made family, and they were leaving, so she just had to take the plunge and go with them.
Yeah, and Steve tries to get her back, doesn't he? He sort of chases her to the airport and says, oh, what a fool I've been. But she's like, no, it's too late, you've had your chance.
Yeah, tough.
It was a bit emotional, and they have a hug, so they weren't really leaving on bad terms. But I think she saw that she's better off without him.
Yeah, she yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then there was a really nice scene right at the very end of the episode where she's in like this at the first class lounge of the I know she's on the plane, isn't she?
I think
she?
She's on the plane.
Yeah, and she has a lovely final line.
She says, regrets are for what people what stop on the ground. We're heading for the stars.
Yeah, so it's a classic kind of final line. There's been lots of women leaving Coronation Street with their big memorable lines, and that was a good one for Becky to have. So really good exit.
Oh,
Ta-ra, Becky.
Yeah, bye, Becky. Come back.
Oh, I hope she will.
I think she might do.
So it's not over yet. The Bayek Award is for the most shocking moment this year.
There are loads of shocking moments this year. Leslie's death.
Yeah, and that's not just shocking in the James Bond shocking kind of way, because she was electrocuted.
Yeah.
But that was one thing that I really didn't know was going to happen, and that really
surprised
me.
That was shocking. Sophie's accident.
Yeah. Sophie's accident.
Yeah, this was a classic soap move where somebody pushes somebody out of the way of a car and waits for the car to run them over.
Yeah, and then, shock of shocks, Ryan runs off and leaves her there.
Yeah, that bit was shocking.
Yeah.
Katie abandoning baby Joseph because she just could not cope, poor girl. She's only 16.
Yeah, and she left. I mean, we'd seen in episodes running up to it that she was having real problems sort of juggling him and normal life.
Yeah.
And then she goes off around town, leaving Joseph there at home, which was a bit of a shocking move.
Yep. Owen hitting Faye. This was quite shocking, because obviously it's very taboo now. I mean, when we were kids, it was normal to get a clip around the ear.
Yeah.
And a bit of a slap. It wasn't actually that vicious. He didn't beat her up or anything. He gave her a slap on the legs, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was after that she'd poured that creosote into the fish pond and killed all his fish, and he discovers it and then gives her a good old slap and screams at her.
It was pretty shocking, because he's not a tall guy, but he's very intimidating and very masculine, and
yeah.
She's quite old to be slapped, really.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a bit, that was quite scary almost.
Yeah, and it came out of nowhere as well. He was obviously getting angrier, and Owen had been he started off as a villain but became more of a sympathetic character, and then to see this return to old ways was a shock.
And obviously he's not related to her in any way at all, so that was quite shocking. And then when poor little Simon found a bottle of wine in Peter's apartment and decided to get sloshed.
Yeah, oh, I like father, like son.
Yeah.
Bit of a shock as well to have this little boy getting drunk.
Yeah.
So, the winner of the Conversation Street 2012 BIAC Award is Leslie's Death.
Oh.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, yeah. We had to give this to Leslie because she's not in it anymore. So she has to... She deserves a prize. But it was a very tragic storyline.
I did enjoy that storyline. I know not everybody did. Having an Alzheimer's storyline that was different to the Mike Baldwin Alzheimer's storyline was good, because it could have gone very similar way. It's difficult having Alzheimer's storylines on soaps because it's kind of known as the long goodbye, and it doesn't kill you, does it? But you just have to live with it for ages and ages and ages. I didn't know that Leslie was going to die. I didn't know the actress was leaving. I wasn't really sure where the storyline was going to go.
No, that's the point. You didn't know where it was going because Eileen and Paul were trying to have a relationship together. And then it wound up that Leslie moved in with Eileen and Paul so that she could get the care that she needed because her carer left.
Yeah, and she ended up, smash the TV once and...
Yeah, she got confused, and when she got confused, she got a bit violent.
Yeah, she was really well played.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Eileen was kind of really stuck in the middle here because she loved Paul.
Yeah, and lots of people were against her as well, like Jason... But
yeah, they thought that she was being stupid. She was trying to do the right thing, really, because in that situation, what is the right thing? I mean, have to try to do your best, don't you, to be a good person? And she considered that to be looking after Leslie for Paul.
Yeah, and then the night it actually happened, it was a two-parter, and then Leslie's there making a... cheese on toast. She's alone in the... Didn't Eileen abandon her?
First of all, Leslie attacked Eileen, and she was totally shook up and really jangled, so she ran outside bleeding, and then Leslie got left by herself and she decides to make cheese on toast.
And the way you make that, of course, is put some toast in the toaster and dangle a few bits of cheese on top.
Yeah, and then she realises that's not right at all, and she starts muttering to herself.
Yeah, she saw that the toaster was dirty, and then puts it in the sink, and we can...
Yeah, she was electrocuted.
Yeah.
So that was just incredibly shocking and very sad, and also...
That was the end of the first part, and I assumed that when it came back that the
actress would go, oh, that was a bit shocking.
I thought that the emergency services would come and they would revive her, and then the storyline would go off. Maybe Paul would leave Eileen because she...
Yeah, poor old Eileen had to sort of face the consequences, didn't she? Because she'd run out because she was hurt and she had been attacked, and she didn't want to stay in the house with Leslie anymore. But it really led to Leslie's death.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't like to see spoilers, but they're so difficult to avoid. But I really didn't know that was happening. It was a great moment, and it was a shock for me as well. So a definite deserved winner of the BIAC Award.
Yeah. I bet there were some good contenders there. So the Yellow Love Award is all about romance, because most of the storylines on the street revolve around the mushy stuff. We're giving an award to our favourite couple, and obviously, again, there's been fierce competition. Yeah. So we've had Maria and Marcus.
Yeah, a bit of a shocking couple there. Who'd have thought that at the beginning of the year?
So Marcus, who all his life thought he was gay, falling for the lovely Maria.
Yeah.
Kirk and Beth is a bit of a comedy.
Comedy romance.
There.
I don't think anyone would have necessarily put them together at the beginning of
but
the year.
But they work really well.
Kind of works.
I think they're brilliant.
And he does like the way that she smells better than a pie.
Yeah, and better top of a dog's head, which is admittedly a delicious smell, apparently. Sally and Frank, a bit of a doomed romance.
Yeah, I think that's too love.
No, the lovely Rita and Dennis, who's returned to the street recently for a bit of a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve and Michelle, a little bit of a feisty.
Yeah, that was a blast from the past as well, because they used to go out and they're back together again.
Lloyd and Mandy, which was really nice to see Lloyd with a sort of a woman
storyline. I think it's nice to see Lloyd with.
It was nice to see him with a woman who's more suited to him, I think. And it was really nice as well that she was an old flame of his, and now he's got this ready-made family with Jenna.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be tough, but
I'd really like to see a lot more from them next year, because it, like we said earlier, it wasn't the best of starts for Mandy, having been a bit moany for the first month or so, but she's really well suited to Lloyd, I think.
Well, also they've been trying to include her more, haven't they? Because she's been in the background.
No, she's in the Rovers.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I hope people give her more of a chance, because I know she's not very popular at the moment.
And finally, Fizz and Tyrone, it's like Romeo and Juliet, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
So, the Conversation Street 2012 Hello Love Award winner is Dennis and Rita.
Yay, yeah. Dennis and Rita.
Wrinkly love.
Oh, God. So, we love Dennis and Rita together because it's so nice to have a couple who have little spats, but they never fall out properly. I mean, when he lied about being a lollipop man, Rita's reaction was to laugh, and I thought that was amazing. That was just really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so previously he'd been close with Rita.
Yeah, he came back. I can't remember whether it was last year or 2010. I think it was probably
Well, he came back after a very extended...
Yeah, very extended absence. And he was obviously very close to Rita right from the start. And I think when he was in it, sort of back in the 60s, they had a few scenes together. I can't remember. Obviously didn't watch back then, but there wasn't that real much of a spark between them. But I think they're kind of doing a bit of retconning and making it so that there was a little bit more between them there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obvious that they've sort of had feelings for each other. And
And everyone was kind of going, oh, go on.
Well, except for Norris, who really doesn't like this at all.
No, I think he still holds a candle for Rita himself.
Yeah, exactly. So in March, Dennis tells Rita he'd been offered a job in Birmingham, and that kind of was the catalyst for making them realise that they have feelings for each other.
Yeah, he tells Tina that he loves Rita, but he's sort of too embarrassed or ashamed or whatever to say anything.
Doesn't she meddle? Does she not tell Rita?
I can't remember now.
Well, anyway. Well,
he packs his bags to lead to Birmingham, and Rita's like, oh, bye-bye then, keep in touch. and then he goes off, but then later it turns out that he couldn't go through with it, and he's back, and they admit they love each other. And it's so nice to see like an older couple kind of still having a bit of romance in their lives.
Well, he proposes, and she becomes the new Mrs. Tanner on the 4th of June 2012.
Yeah, after being...
It wasn't a smooth
wedding. Well, a smooth wedding, but it turned out better than Nick and Leanne's.
Yeah, well, she was kidnapped by Rick, wasn't she?
Yeah, as part of the Terry Duckworth, Tommy, Tina kind of lone storyline.
Yeah, exactly. It's just really nice to have... I can't imagine there being any drama in this relationship. I think it's perfectly fine if they just keep them as a couple.
Yeah, I don't want them to start having fallouts or whatever.
No, please don't.
No, but I hope they have storylines together as a couple.
Oh yeah, the lollipop one was great, and when he started getting money, he was trying to buy her cashmere gloves their own cash.
Yeah, so they had a storyline for a couple of weeks, and if that's the most we're allowed, then fine. I'd like to see him have a longer storyline, but it's obviously difficult for actors of that age to have storylines for too long, maybe.
Well, I just think Coronation Street has got a huge range of ages of cast members, and most of the drama sort of goes for the under 40s.
Under 30s crowd almost. Well, big difference from back in the olden days when a lot of it did revolve around the older characters.
Yeah, so hopefully this will prove, our reward proves that you can have great romance with older characters without getting sickening and gross.
Yeah. So well done to those two for that award. Ninth is the Ecky Thump Award for Best Fisticuffs. Corrie is rightly famous for its cobble wobbles, so we decided to put our dukes up and wrestle with some of the toughest brawlers of 2012 in order to determine which battle was best.
So there have been loads of fights this year.
Yeah, and I think our nominees just are like a hand-picked selection out of the number of slaps and thumps and tussles that there have been.
Yeah, so Kirsty versus Tyrone.
That's been kind of an ongoing...
It's more one-sided.
One-sided fight. Yeah, but we couldn't have this category without mentioning them.
Yeah, Jason versus Marcus.
Yeah, so that was quite exciting.
Happened when Jason discovered that Marcus was dating his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, so they had a bit of a scrap in the Rovers, which left Charlie Conn a bit concussed.
Yeah.
So it must have been good.
Michelle versus Tracy, which is when they were sitting in the hair salon together, and Tracy was just needling and needling.
Yeah,
and
this
needling.
Is when she was going out with Ryan, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was just rubbing
Michelle's nose in it.
Yeah, saying, me and my boyfriend's mum sitting together. I was like,
yeah, so they ended up having a bit of a scrap in the street with their curlers.
That was good because everybody watching it wanted to punch Tracy in the face, and Michelle just did it for us.
Yeah, that was a bit trying to recreate the Gail and Eileen dressing gown fight, though,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because they were in their curlers in the street, weren't they? And David was waiting for to get his curlers back off them. Then we have Leanne versus Carla.
Yeah, they had a couple of scraps this year.
Yeah,
the first one was after. Simon accused Carla of hitting him, and then again recently Simon
said that she
was drunk when she tried to pick him up from school.
Yeah.
And her first fight was in the factory, second went out on the streets.
In front of the factory, so all the factory girls got. Yeah. And then we had Terry versus Tommy.
Yeah, so that was just a bit of a punch when Terry comes back and doesn't know who Tommy is. Tommy doesn't know who Terry is because of the how he abandoned him and hasn't seen much of him since.
And then after Terry gives Tommy a massive punch, Tyrone introduces them.
Yeah.
And then we had Stella versus Sunita. This was when Stella, after taking Sunita in when she moved out from Dev, realised that the reason their relationship had broken down was because Sunita was seeing Carl, her partner.
Yeah, she gives a good old slap outside their overs. Like she deserved, I have to say.
And the winner of the Conversation Street 2012 Ecky Thump Award goes to Leanne versus Carla.
Hooray! So it's a bit of a double award as well. So we're not going to separate those two fights out. They were both really, really good ones.
Yeah, they both really hate each other, don't they? Those two. There's nothing that Leanne thinks Carla can do right ever.
No. they used to be friends, didn't they? They used to be business associates.
They used to be really good friends, and then Carla stole Peter away, and since then Leanne
has always been brewing for a rumble.
Yeah, I think Carla would want to be friends if Leanne would let her.
Yeah, I think so as well. Leanne does seem to be the instigator of a lot of this animosity between each other. So round one on the 27th of February, this was after Frank's trial. Leanne discovered that Carla had moved back in with Peter because it was all revealed that Carla and Peter had been having the secret affair. She accuses Carla of using her miscarriage of a way of luring Peter away. And then later on, Simon accused Carla of hitting Leanne. To Leanne, he didn't say it to Carla.
He said to Leanne that Carla had hit him.
Yeah, so Leanne storms into the factory and sort of says, you get your head off my son.
Yeah.
Not your son, Leanne, but never mind.
You know, Carla denies everything, but Leanne goes for her and they had a tussle on the desk.
Yeah, whilst Hayley was kind of gasping in the background.
Beth was loving it.
Yeah.
Like, she does, she's like the viewer, isn't she?
Yeah.
They get pulled apart, but Carla tries to go again.
Yeah. And then Leanne says, "You poison everything you touch, Carla, and I won't let you poison Simon
like
you poison everyone else."
And then Leanne storms off.
Yeah, so.
And Michelle's like, "Stay out of here!"
Oh, yeah, Michelle's there saying, "Oh, I better say something. You stay out of here."
Because she knows.
It's like at the end going,
go stay out.
Yeah.
Because she's on Carla's side, obviously, because she can't believe that Carla would ever do such a thing.
Mm. I think on its own, that fight wouldn't have been enough to have won our Ecky Thump Award.
No.
The real good fight was just a few weeks away. Round two on the 12th of December.
Carla tried to pick Simon up from school, but he smelt minty breath and he knew that that's how she hides the fact that she's been drinking.
Yeah.
So he throws her keys off and runs away.
Yeah.
Goes and finds Leanne and tells her that Carla was drunk and trying to pick him up from school, and of course Leanne believes every word he says straight away. We still don't really know, do we, whether she was drunk?
I don't know whether she was.
Well, she
or
doesn't
not.
Deny it. She just says when Leanne confronts her, she goes, "I was only round the corner. What are you moaning about?"
Yeah, because Leanne storms up behind her again, and this was outside the factory this time. So
yeah.
The factory girls are still there to get a good ogle.
Exactly. So Carla denies being drunk, tells her to get off her back. And she tries to get in the car to get away, but Leanne grabs her. And
then
they're
like, we're not done yet.
Yeah, they sort of have a few shoves at each other, and they sort of get... Yeah, Leanne keeps...
Just to get warmed up.
Leanne keeps shoving her, doesn't she? And Carla's like going, "Oi, lady, don't you do that to me."
Yeah.
Push, push, push. And then Leanne says...
Carla wants to get into the car and drive off.
Yeah, and she said, and Leanne says, "Last time you tried to drive drunk, you nearly killed my mum." And Carla goes, "Shane, it weren't you." And then Leanne
gives her a really good left hook.
It was like a man fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, good duff sound effect there.
Yeah, and they sort of have a really good tussle and they're yanking hair.
Yeah.
And Beth's going, get stuck in! Like that.
They get pulled apart, unfortunately.
Yeah, they get held on. They're held back, aren't they?
Yeah, but then they're still kind of wanting to go for each other, and Carla's still baiting her and saying, oh yeah, I've got Peter, I just wanted to get him away from you, he's much better with me.
Well, she says, it's no wonder Peter left you, Leanne, you're vicious, you're sanctimonious, and oh, you're barren. And then Leanne goes, ah! And launches herself and knocks Carla into the gutter.
Yeah.
And she sort of rolls around a bit.
And Leanne's like, there you are, back in the gutter where you belong.
And I think that was just perfect. The way that the lines they had in that fight was what made it.
Sometimes it's not just the choreography, it's the script writing as well. That was really good.
Yeah, because you really felt for both of them, didn't you?
Yeah, and we know from back in the days of Baron Karen that woman doesn't like to be called Baron.
But it's quite often used as an insult, isn't it, on the street? A few other characters have been told that they're barren or they can't have children or something, which is a bit, I don't know if I'm too keen on that being used as an insult, but there you go.
It works.
It certainly rolls them up.
Yeah, exactly. So well done to ladies for another fantastic fight this year.
Well done. Our 10th and penultimate prize is the Bobbins Award for Silliest Storyline of 2012. Anything goes, whether it's a baffling plot, characters acting contrary to their personalities, or just things we thought were plain old stupid.
Yeah, that's been quite a lot that we could have chosen for this.
I think the hardest bit of all of this is not choosing the winners, it's choosing the nominees, because sometimes I think, I'm sure people are going to write in and go, I can't believe we missed out.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's been especially difficult for us only having done the podcast for half a year.
Yeah.
But, it's not been a vintage year in Coronation Street in 2012, to be honest. So there has been quite a few sort of silly awards. So,
yeah, exactly. So the first one we've got is Frank Foster's Whodunit.
Just being silly because it was obvious all along that it was Anne.
Yeah.
The actual Frank Foster undoing storyline was actually pretty good, but the Whodunit wasn't handled very well, I don't think.
No, and then we've got the relationship between Carl and Sunita.
Yeah, could there be a couple less suited to each other than those two?
I don't know. and then the fact that it was revealed during the funeral that Betty actually owned the Rovers.
Or she should have done. Annie Walker left Betty the Rovers in her will, and that kind of would have rewritten the past however many years of Coronation Street history.
They said that she never wanted to be the landlady because she was happy being a humble barmaid.
Yeah, and Phil Collinson had said, oh, we're going to have something happen at Betty's funeral that will be a throwback to the past and hopefully fans will like it, but they didn't.
No, we didn't.
No.
Ryan's return. Wandering Ryan comes back to the screen.
Yeah, that was just annoying because he's
totally different personality, obviously a different actor. Just very, very irritating and high on drugs most of the time, causing mayhem.
So we've not been happy to see him again.
Not really, no. Stella and Jason.
Yeah, another nomination for worst couple. Just a recent one, that is. And I don't think it will last.
No, I mean, Stella's on.
Certainly not very well suited for each other. And I'm most gutted that I thought it would be a storyline where Jason would be starting his own business and sort of going up against Owen, but it turned into another relationship storyline, which is a real shame.
Maybe they can change direction. Please change direction with that storyline. And then we also have right after the marriage, between Steve and Tracy, Steve decided to do a bit of DIY and split the house in two so that he didn't have to live with Tracy.
Yeah, that was a bit silly, wasn't it?
Because not only was it a stupid idea to begin with, but we could never quite work out how it actually all worked out.
Yeah.
Like, where was the wall? How do you actually split a house in two?
Yeah.
It was just a bit silly.
Bit silly. So, the Conversation Street 2012 Bobbins Award goes to Carl and Sunita Affair. Woo!
Yeah, we don't like it.
No, nobody likes this storyline.
First of all, I don't like it because Sunita used to be a good character.
She was great when she was back in it 10 years ago or whenever it was.
She was nice, but she wasn't boring.
Yeah.
But now she's boring. And she's not very nice.
No, they've turned her into a right sort of bitchy old madam, haven't they?
She's a bit of a cow now. And also, nobody likes Carl, do they? He's just a bit lechy and horrible. Even though he doesn't lech so much, he's just got that way about him that he just seems lechy. So the affair started in the year, earlier in the year, when she was a barmaid at the Rovers, and she discovered his gambling addiction.
Yeah, and she was kind of a support for him when he had a gambling problem.
She was trying to help him out, wasn't she?
Yeah, she took some money from him so that he wouldn't spend it, but then it was discovered.
She didn't really, she kept having troubles with Dev, and she also, that all that stuff with Amber didn't
help. Yeah, that was all going on at the same time, wasn't it? So she split up from Dev and then moved into the Rovers. And Carl was worried that the affair would be found out.
And he was pretty horrible to her, wasn't he? And he kept sort of saying to Stella, why is she here for? Get rid of her, basically. And you could tell that he wasn't into it at all.
Yeah, Tanita eventually agreed to marry Dev to kind of spite Carl.
Yeah.
But then she realised that, actually, I don't really love Dev. I can't go through with it. And he pretty much throws her out, so...
But his heart was broken, really.
Yeah. Tanita then tries to get her own back on Carl by arranging for the two of them to be caught by Stella and Eva and Leanne, I think. So they are caught in this compromising position downstairs in the Rovers. Carl then gets chucked out.
That's when Stella lamps Sunita.
Yeah.
So he gets thrown out and he's got really no choice.
Yeah, but to stay with Sunita.
Seek refuge with his Scarlet Woman.
Yeah, but it's just, they're just so badly suited. They don't have anything in common.
He doesn't even like her. I mean,
fancies her, I think.
He doesn't even fancy her anymore, and he hates the children.
He does now, because he's now sort of trying to worm his way back into Stella's bed. He doesn't like Asher and Ardy.
He hasn't got a job, and she's kind of a bit high maintenance, really. She's got two kids. She needs somebody bringing in money.
Yeah.
And he can't, so he had the fire alarm storyline where he...
Oh, that went nowhere, didn't it?
And didn't...
I'm glad it didn't go anywhere.
Sunita borrowed money from Dev to finance it, and that's gone nowhere, because she basically stole from the children's account or something like that.
Yeah.
That didn't go anywhere.
But I'm glad it didn't, because it would have meant more screen time for Sunita and the Carl.
And there's a 15-year gap between the two of them as well, which isn't too...
That's not always enough, but it's just
another
thing
nail in the coffin, really, for those two. I mean, it's just ruined Sunita, and...
She was already pretty ruined, because since she's been brought back, she's been almost a different person, but this has been... I don't think Sunita can really be redeemed, and to be honest, I'm not bothered if she is or not.
No.
So, a bit of bobbins, that storyline, wasn't it?
Bobbins.
A little bit of bobbins. So, we're getting close to our final award now for today, but before we do that, we thought we'd have a bit of a rundown of awards given out so far. So, the winner of the AOP Award for Best Newcomer
is Gloria Price.
The winner of the Top Lad Award for Best Male
is Tyrone.
The winner of the Top Lass Award for Best Female,
Kirsty.
And our Flaming Nora Award for Top Ginger,
Fizz Stape.
Wrong'un Award for Best Villain,
Frank Foster.
Our Ta-ra Award for Best Exit,
Becky McDonald.
Our Bayek Award for Most Shocking Moment,
Leslie's Death.
Our Hello Love Award for Best Romance,
Rita and Dennis kissing in the tree.
Our Ecky Thump Award for Best Fight,
Leanne versus Carla.
And finally, we've had our Bobbins Award for Stupidest Storyline,
Carl and Sunita's Affair. And finally, final award is...
That's Champion!
Award, which celebrates our favourite storyline of the whole year.
So, who have we got as our nominees for Best Storyline?
Well, domestic abuse has to be in there.
Definitely, that's dominated the year.
Yep, and the Alzheimer's storyline with Leslie and Paul and Eileen.
Yeah, I really like that storyline. I know that a lot of people didn't, but that was a heart-wrenching storyline. Yeah. I think Eileen's great, and it was nice to see her. It's a different storyline.
This list is very personal to us, isn't it? This isn't necessarily the best storylines.
Not everyone's going to agree.
No. So, you really felt strongly about adding in the Kendi storyline. Is it just because you came up with a good little name for it?
I really liked the Ken and Wendy storyline. It was nice to have a blast from the past. It's always nice to have a bit of nostalgia on Coronation Street, even from when it's a time when I didn't even watch it.
But it's not nostalgia.
But I think it was acted really well. It's just nice to have Ken and Deirdre having a dramatic storyline.
That
and
didn't
not just
end
being...
in up with them moving out and having an affair, and we all thought it was going in a different direction.
Yeah, but it showed kind of what Ken's made of when he chucked Wendy Flaming Crozier out.
I'll tell you what it was.
What?
She didn't have a houseboat. And finally, the undoing of Frank Foster.
Yeah, even though I didn't like the whodunit aspect of it, because it was obviously Anne.
Well, that was more after what happened to him, but he was such a villain.
Yeah, and his spiralling downfall.
Yeah, every time he was on the screen,
really
it was like,
great to watch.
Frank.
Yeah. So, the Conversation Street 2012 Fast Champion Award goes to Domestic Abuse.
Yay!
How could it be anything else? It's been the most gripping storyline that not just that they've had this year, but it's been for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's been we've covered it a lot when we talked about Tyrone and Kirsty for our Top Lad Top Lass awards. We won't go over it again, but it's been one of these storylines where you kind of don't want to watch it, and it's difficult to watch because it makes you cringe and squirm.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're on the edge of your seat.
It's compelling.
Yeah, really, really compelling. I think that the fact that I think that one, it's a domestic abuse storyline where the roles are reversed, which has made it interesting. Usually, you get the man beating up the woman in these kinds of storylines, but the other way around has given
it a fresh, different spin.
Yeah.
And it changes the conversation that you have about it, and it also gives space for Kirsty to be more sympathetic, I think.
Yeah, which you might not necessarily have if it was the man doing the beating.
I can't. I think if they had done it the other way around, they would have been called irresponsible for giving the man any kind of sympathy at all. So it gives him a bit more leeway, really. And I mean, it doesn't impact on what's happening to Tyrone. It's not like you feel sorry for Kirsty, so you want her to hit Tyrone. So they've done a really good job of it, really. Mm. And it's good that they've had that freedom.
Yeah. The fact that they chose Tyrone to play out this storyline was a really good choice as well, because he's so sort of lovable and a little bit meek, and he was always going to kind of take it. He was never going to hit her back because he's such a gent.
And you don't want him to either. Like some of the other characters, you'd go, just bloody hit her.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't want to compromise his lovely personality and sort of introduce that darkness into him.
No. So it's been
difficult to watch.
Yeah.
But gripping.
Definitely. Yeah. So
we salute you,
well done. And it
is
not going to last for too long next year. I think once the wedding comes along, it's kind of going to end there, which will be a shame. But it will be
nice to see
what happens next. Yeah. Absolutely. So that was our 2012 Conversation Street Awards. Hopefully we'll be back in a year to give some awards for 2013. Speaking of which, we'll be back in just a second with some of our predictions and hopes for the year to come.
So 2013 is going to be a brilliant year for Corey, I predict. That's my first prediction in this prediction section that we're just about to do.
Do you think? Why do you think it's going to be a brilliant year?
Because it has to be.
Well, compared to this year?
No, well, this year has not been the best year.
No.
But
the new producer's going to come in, and he's going to make his mark somehow.
Yeah.
Either by doing something shockingly good or shockingly awful.
I predict awful. I think everyone's going to be complaining.
You?
Yeah, it's just human nature, isn't it?
Yeah. When Phil Collinson came in, one of the first things he did was like the tram crash and everything. I thought he was like going to be the saviour of Coronation Street, and
didn't quite turn
out that way. But he wasn't too bad.
Well,
let's see.
Really, we thought we'd divide our predictions up into momentous life events. So we've predicted some deaths.
Yeah.
This is kind of a mixture, really, of actual predictions and what we would like to see happen.
Yeah.
So these are more characters we think could be cut.
Yeah, it's not necessarily deaths, it's exits as well, it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah, so we've got three, and they're all men. Carl? So,
yeah, Carl, I think both of us want to get rid of
Carl.
He serves no purpose at the moment. He's just sort of sniffing around Stella, kind of...
Well, really,
not working with Sunita. We've already seen from the Bobbins Award.
He has the potential to be a very irritating yet watchable character who spends all of his time annoying people. But all he's done really is low-level whining with Sunita and her kids.
Yeah. So unless they're going to give him something amazing,
well, it'll be dramatic to actually kill him off, because that would make Stella sort of have a bit of a crumble, maybe. Perhaps it might split her and Jason up. She realises that she's only with Jason as a sort of rebound, and it'd give Sunita something different to do.
Yeah.
Maybe she could bugger off.
Gary, we said next, is a possible.
Now, Gary would be a good one, because what would then happen to little baby Izzy, Tina and Gary?
But Izzy would have to look after this baby herself.
Yeah, but then there'd be a massive argument about, oh, she can't, she's not capable, because we already know Owen is definitely not on her side.
Yeah.
When it comes to raising a child, he thinks that she's not got it in her anyway, even with Gary helping her out. And then that might give Tina a bit of a second thought about giving the baby up.
But it would mean one less ginger on the street.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think they've got to fulfil their redheaded quota.
I think they have to have at least four.
I think that we might finally see the end of Bill Webster this year. Now, he's not been in it at all in 2012, yet he's still on the cast list along with Pam. My prediction is that I think they're gonna have to draw a line under those two characters eventually. I think they might get them married this year.
I want them to get married.
Because they've been engaged for over a year now. I think they might.
So almost as long as we. How long were we engaged?
We were engaged for about 5 years, so I think they've still got a while together. I think they might get Pam and Bill married, and then there may be like a heart attack on the wedding day or the honeymoon or something. They obviously haven't got anything more to do with Bill anymore.
Wouldn't it be brilliant if Pam and Bill got married and then went to live in?
Oh, I'd be happy with that. I don't.
Soul.
Oh, I thought you were meaning like come and live back on the street.
Oh, no,
I'd be happy for them to be on the street because I like both of them.
Well, I love Pam.
But, yeah, and Bill's all right.
Bill's okay, but we don't need him really. I would love Pam back.
I would be happy if like Owen died and then Bill came back as the street builder. He's getting on a little bit now though, to be honest.
Well, he can re-employ Jason.
Maybe Jason could take on the role and Bill could be Jason's apprentice.
No.
Okay. There could be lots of other deaths, because sometimes when new producers come in, they like to do a bit of a cast cull. And Stuart Blackburn's coming in, probably knowing that a lot of fans aren't happy that it's him that's been chosen as the new producer. So I think he may do something to appease the fans by killing off some characters that people don't really like. Like Sean's not very popular at the moment. Stella's not very popular. So he may even go down that route.
I'm happy for all of those characters to stay.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't hate Stella that much.
She's no Bet Lynch, but
yeah, that's true. I mean, she's okay being in it, but she's certainly not an iconic landlady for the Rovers.
I want them to bring back who was it? Maureen Lipman's character. She was a landlady for about a week or so back when Bet Lynch was supposed to come back into it, but Julie Goodyear couldn't, so they had to quickly find somebody, and Fred got this character, and I can't remember what they called her or the character name was, but she was awesome, and it was like having Annie Walker back again.
Why can't they get rid of Stella and have Gloria be the landlady?
She would be much better landlady. I think they should bring back what's her name, Carol from the Weddy Arms. She'd be, I'd love her. I'd love to have her as the Rovers landlady, but
really?
I don't think so. Not when a Weddy Arms is pub of the year. So we've got a few birth predictions, although to be honest, they're not much of a stretch to go to them. Obviously, Tina's going to have her baby, or is there going to be a miscarriage?
I don't know. Well,
if she does, I'm sure there's going to be some drama about whether she wants to keep it or not.
Yes, I think so. I think there will be a storyline where she wants to keep the baby. I don't think it will be straight away.
No.
Because I think that's too obvious. And if they do go down that path, I'll be a bit annoyed because it's so obvious.
So do you think that Izzy will have it for a bit and then Tina will be kind of stalking the baby
a bit? Yeah, well, maybe they'll keep asking her to babysit, or she'll ask to babysit, and then she ends up wanting to keep it. I mean, maybe if we feed into what we said about Gary getting the chop, that might be a bit of a catalyst for Tina to want to steal the baby off,
maybe.
And maybe Tommy will accept it as his own and he can be miserable.
Oh no. Well, maybe the baby will turn out to be Tommy's. And all this egg embryo implanting, I don't know very much about
all this science.
Harvesting.
Load of nonsense.
Maybe it turned out that it's Tommy's.
Do you not think they would have been
all
a bit foolish to have done anything?
Well, Tommy was trying to do whatever he could to prevent
that happening. We never saw him sort of steepling his hands together evilly and then sort of going to Tina. And don't forget, she wasn't he quite put off of her at one point?
Yeah, he was on and off quite a lot. And we think that most probably Kylie's going to have a baby in the new year. well, in about 9 months' time, probably.
Oh, probably.
Around about 9 months after Christmas.
Do you think?
Yeah. And it'll be Nick's, or will it be David's, or whatever. It doesn't sound very much of an interesting storyline. I think we talked about it in our last episode.
It's a bit annoying, because we said that we really liked Kylie and David together.
Yeah. I hope it would be David's, but...
I hope so,
who knows? I'm sure it'll come out about their little liaison.
Yeah.
So, marriages. We've had a couple... only had one real marriage this year, Rita and Dennis. So we had a couple of others that didn't quite go through, yeah. So
there could be quite a few, and we... I mean, obviously, there are many couples on the street who could get married, because there's quite a lot of living under the brush.
What would Hilda Ogden say?
Now, what about Julie and Brian?
I don't see why not. I think they appear to be a fairly traditional couple.
I would love them to get married, because I think Julie would have a great dress, because she dresses very retro and vintage.
She's very stylish.
She's sort of like late 50s, early 60s, isn't she? And she'd look fabulous.
Yeah, and I just want Brian and Julie to have a proper storyline.
Well, they've moved into the street and not done anything since.
No, it's a real shame that they're not doing anything with them.
Well,
so
maybe
that would be a good...
Yeah.
Paul and Eileen possibly could
really
as well.
I'd really like to see Paul and Eileen get married after everything that happened with Leslie.
Yeah.
And I want Eileen to be happy. We said that.
She's just been unlucky in love since she's been in it, pretty much. And to kind of tie it all off and have them get married, that'd be... Even if that was a way of getting rid of her, because
no.
I know she's not hugely popular at the moment anyway, and Paul definitely isn't.
Oh no, Paul's very boring.
I don't think the street would really, really, really miss Eileen, to be honest. Although it would make a lot of people homeless. Yeah. So maybe those two. Gary and Izzy, possibly.
Gary and Izzy, really, before they were allowed to go through the surrogacy, should have been married, in my opinion. No, I don't believe that at all. But it would be nice if they got married.
Yeah, yeah, I think I could see that with like him in his army uniform or something.
Well, it's very...
maybe he's not allowed to do that now he's not in the army anymore.
But... No, I don't think so. Do you think that there would be... Well, I just can't... It kind of confuses me, all these characters who go through these really enormous life moments with each other, like buying a house together, like Julie and Brian have done, or having a baby. And it's not even like an accidental pregnancy, or it just happened and they went with the flow of it, but they've actually plotted and taken a lot of time to try to get a baby, but they've never ever talked about getting married.
No, well, Anna and Eddie, were they married? I can't remember.
I mean, we could go through every single couple on the street and say they should get married, but Maria and Marcus, do you think his parents might pressure him?
I think his parents will pressure him into it. They'll be wanting them to have a baby, and I think definitely they'll be pushing for a wedding. Oh, I can almost see that being next Christmas's big storyline, if this be a repeat of this year.
Well, I do imagine if it was to get that far, that Marcus would change his mind at the last minute, and that would be...
I honestly wouldn't mind if they naturally decided to get married, but if they're going to be pushed along, then Maria will want out.
If they get pushed into it, it won't last.
No. If they let it naturally progress, then...
But I don't think it's going to last anyway.
I think it still could.
All right, okay. Well, it'd be good... Well, I don't know. For Marcus's sake, it'd be nice if they had a baby together.
Yeah.
So that could be another pregnancy, Maria.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't turn into a repeat of Sean and Violet and all the messiness around that.
Mm. Maybe Maria will have a baby and leave it with Marcus and Sean.
Oh, who knows? So, who do you think might get together in the new year?
Well...
Gail and Lewis look like they're possibly heading down that route.
Well, Lewis is doing everything in his power to charm the pants off... Gail.
Yeah.
Hopefully, not literally, please, God.
It won't be a real love, but I can quite possibly see Gail falling for him, and then...
Well, she hasn't had a storyline apart from cleaning Nick's loos.
She desperately needs a storyline, a serious storyline, because I turned her into too much of a comedic character. She needs a proper serious storyline again, because she's proven time and time again that she can handle them, particularly with the Richard Hillman stuff.
So, of all the other single characters on the street, who should we hook up with a new significant other?
What do you think is going to happen to Eva? Do you think that she's going to end up back with Nick, or is he kind of... Has she burnt her bridges with him now, then?
He would be stupid to go back with her, which means possibly
She kind of likes the rich kind of important.
She likes businessmen, doesn't she? She likes business owners and sort of men of great import on the street.
Like Dev.
Dev. Now Eva and Dev, what do you think of that?
I think she would.
Oh, she
and
would.
He would.
Have you seen that dress she was wearing on Christmas Day?
Yeah. But I don't think it would last anyway. She might go after Steve as well.
She'd go after anyone, wouldn't she, really?
Yeah.
She seems to be looking for a father figure, almost.
Mm. So maybe like going for an older man like Dev.
Well, yeah, Dev sounds perfect, really.
Well, we'll be back in a year to see whether that one's come true.
In 12 months, I'll be like, well, we were stupid. After Eva managed to get that crashed spaceship and she used the laser beams to kill Stella in a vicious act of revenge and then realised her mistake and flew off to...
What are you talking about?
That would be good. I don't know what this new producer could be doing.
Yeah, that could be anything. Anything goes. What else could happen next year? Do you think Sophie and Jenna are finally going to get it on?
Yeah, maybe. Well, what's the point of setting it up?
I think they will do, but okay, I'm not sure it'll last because we talked about last episode how we don't think they're suited
to each
other.
They're not suited at all. You can't just chuck people together.
No. If Pam and Bill had that wedding, then that could be an opportunity for first kind of public outing of Jenna and Sophie together, maybe.
Maybe.
Make people gasp.
We've got to sort of talk about where we think the storyline is going to go with Kirsty and Tyrone.
Mm. Yeah, so the wedding is, well, within the next month or so, I think, isn't it? I think there's got to be a beating between now and then.
Definitely. Now, I think, myself, that there's not going to be a wedding.
Yeah, I still think there is.
I think what's going to happen is, the day before, she's going to find the phone with the photo and she's going to totally flip her lid, beat him to within an inch of his life, say that the wedding's off, because I cannot imagine, when she finds this, I can't imagine her going ahead with it. The most traumatic time for her to find out is the day before the wedding.
Mm.
There's no way Kirsty would go through with it that close to finding out that he had taken his top off of Fizz.
He could still say that it was something that was a long time ago.
I can't imagine him getting out of her finding the phone, because she's gonna have to be able to work out, number one, somebody else took it off him.
Yeah.
Number two, he didn't have his clothes on at the time. Number three, that he's been plotting to use this as evidence against her.
Mm.
So if she goes a step further and realises that perhaps he's doing this to get Ruby, which I don't know if she would do, then there's no way she'd go ahead with it. So I think what would happen is she'll run off with Ruby, and then he's going to have to then report her to the police, try to go through a legal channel, because this idea of getting married to her to get the baby off her seems like a good idea, but dramatically, how is it actually going to pan out in the most exciting way?
Mm.
What's going to happen? He signs a bit of paper and then he goes, ha 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 ha.
I don't know.
It can't have a crescendo after the wedding. What's the crescendo going to be? Because he's not going to want to stay with her.
Maybe they'll like sit down on the plane to go on the honeymoon and then he'll run off. I still think the wedding's going to go ahead. I think that, like you said, he's going to get a beating not long before the wedding, but he's still going to go through with it. I can see him at the altar, and then the vicar saying, does anyone see any reason why these two should not be legally married? And then Tina would call out, don't do it, Ty, can't you see? Look what she's done to you. This is your last chance to get out of it. And then she's going to totally put her foot in it, and then it's going to be a bit of drama with, oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to go through with it, or is Kirsty going to suspect then? So I do still think the wedding's, but we haven't got long.
Yeah, but you said that, that's still not whether, you still haven't said whether you think the wedding's going to go through or not.
Yeah, and I think it will.
I still can't see the most dramatic way of concluding it post-wedding. There's going to have to be like a watershed moment where he tells her, tough. But what's going to happen? How it can't just be that quick. He can't just go, I'm taking the baby, actually, thanks very much. Or is, I'll tell you what could happen.
What?
They get married,
come
out of the church, and the coppers are outside, and they arrest her in her wedding dress.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
That
would be good.
And then she's going,
old mates,
bang it, Fizz, it's all your fault. Ah!
Yeah, I'd have gotten away with it if it wasn't for meddling Fizz.
Yeah, you pesky ginger.
That could happen. We'll see. It's not long to wait.
Now I can't wait.
But whatever happens to her, we've said before, we still would like to see her redeemed. I want to find out more about her parents as well, because I do worry for poor Kirsty's mum.
Mrs. Kirsty.
And
I don't care about her.
She still must be getting beaten up by her dad, so I think something's going to happen there. Maybe Mrs. Kirsty will come and move onto the street or something and live with Kirsty.
If Kirsty stays.
Yeah, with Kirsty. That could be a way almost of redeeming Kirsty then, with having her help her mum to get away from horrible
dad. Yeah, because I don't know if she's leaving Kirsty.
No, I don't know.
I don't want her to leave, but I don't want to stay with Tyrone.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
So we also think there might be a bit of a reunion for Sally and Kevin. I mean, it's very likely they've been sniffing around each other for a long time.
I hope so, because...
No, I don't.
If either Kevin's got to leave, and to be honest, he hasn't done anything for so long, it's quite possible, or he's got to get back with Sally, because otherwise he's just going to be sniffing around, being lechy.
Lechy after physiotherapist.
Yeah. Just get back together or leave Kevin.
Don't forget that if... it turns out that Sophie and Jenna get together, it will be a bit of a little awkwardness if Kevin is still single around Jenna, even, and she starts going out with Sophie. So that might be interesting, but I can't see how
if Bill and Pam have their wedding, then I think that would be a good opportunity for Kevin and Sally to have their romantic
I can see them sitting on the pew together going, oh, do you remember Kevin when we were married?
Remember the 80s.
But Sally, you would be a fool to take him back because he was a dog.
I
don't like Kevin since that happened, and I don't want him to get back with Sally. She should kick him to the curb, tell him to stop sniffing around, go back to his own house. He's got his own house, he's got his own baby. Yeah. He's made his bed and he can go and lie in it, I think.
Harsh, well, we'll find out.
Plus, also, even though Kevin was a very naughty man, does he deserve to have to live with Sally for the rest of his life for his crimes?
Nag, nag, nag. Maybe that could be punishment. What do you think is going to happen with Chesney? Because a lot of people are saying that since he's kind of grown up, the writers don't know what to do with him.
No, he keeps going, I've got to go to the market today. I've got a load of dog collars in.
I'd like to see him start a proper business. If he, I don't know how he'd afford it or anything, but if he could, get the butchers and open a business there...
I want him to, because when he first started going off to the market, we were thinking, oh, this is quite interesting. Maybe he'll start earning, because you never have any, we've had two or three scenes at the market, Let's have him have a proper business.
Have a business on the street, like everyone else who lives on the street.
Yeah, I want him to properly build a life for himself with Katie and baby Joseph.
Yeah, although I'm not really fussed about Katie, to be honest, but...
No.
If they can have a storyline together, that might change my mind.
Well, bring back Pam, the entrepreneur, and Craig, the small little Alan Sugar, and they can make a trifecta of business opportunity and take over the street.
Yes, that would be brilliant.
We thought that was a very, very good idea.
Who would you like... Is there any old characters that you'd like to have come back?
Yes.
Apart from Becky, obviously.
Oh, apart from Becky. Apart from Becky, I reckon... Well, we were saying the other day when we were talking about Stella and...
being Leanne's mum.
Stella being Leanne's mum, and we said, wait a minute, if Janice was still in it, she would have something to say about this, don't you think?
Yeah.
So
I'd love Janice to come back.
I want Janice to come back and deck Stella.
I think that Beth is just Janice in disguise.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But don't you think that Janice would get her nose put right out of joint if she came back and saw how cosy Leanne and... Stella have been.
Yeah. She wasn't particularly going anywhere, really, which is, I think, one of the reasons why she left.
Yeah, but there's a perfect storyline for her now.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great, and it might liven Stella up a bit as well.
I'd also quite like to see Toya return. Seeing as they're making Leanne to be kind of one of the main street women, I think now could surely be the time for Toya to make a comeback. bring back Spider with her, and then Emily could... have a storyline as well with that.
Yeah, but isn't just her going, oh, Norris.
Yeah, exactly. Although I think if they did bring Toya back, she'd probably end up in bed with Nick. Because I think Toya would, but because the writers would go,
look at Nick, so handsome.
Yeah, he's got his notches on the bedpost. Let's have Toya. I think of the drama that would
That would be amazing.
Mm. So those are our predictions and hopes and things that may happen. We'll see how accurate that turns out to be. We've also got.
I don't think we were aiming for accuracy at any point during this.
We've also got a few from our listeners who posted on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we've got D Logan who said perhaps Tina's baby will turn out to be Tommy's surprise instead of Izzy and Gary's. That would be funny.
Yeah, we said that, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, might be. Karen Knox said, I really hope they'll let Fizz and Ty be happy for a while.
Mm.
They do deserve it after the year they both had. I want to bring back Hayley. So I think we're up with the actress. I miss her. Yeah, bring back Hayley.
Yeah, she needs to get back pronto. I think some of the older characters have been neglected in favour of the likes of Tina and Tommy this year. I would like to see Hayley and Roy have a proper storyline. So get her back from LA. Bring Sylvia with her because she's a great character.
Yeah.
The new Blanche. maybe even bring Milton back because he was all right.
I think they can't afford him. And then she goes on to say, I'm sure there'll be lots of drama with Leanne, Peter and Carla as well as the surrogacy storyline, yuck. And Stella and Jason, even yucker. Even though there are stories I can't connect to, there are always lovely bits that keep me watching. Bring on 2013.
Yeah. Tibor has said, I'm very disappointed in the total cliche that was Nick and Kylie having a consolation shag after the wedding. Soap lore dictates that Kylie, having had sex with the totally worst person she could have, will get pregnant, and assuming she had makeup sex with David, it'll be yet another who's the daddy. No spoiler, it's just inevitable. And my prediction, seeing as everyone else is getting pregnant and having babies, Leanne will also get pregnant.
So, yeah, if Leanne and Kylie were pregnant at the same time, that'd be brilliant.
They could, yeah.
And then it'd be like, does one of the guys get a double jackpot?
Two babies for Nick.
It could both be Nick, so it can't be David's twice, otherwise Leanne's got some questions to answer.
Yeah, so maybe. And then... Oh, Rob Innes has said, I can't really predict everything because I know the spoilers for the next month or so, but you guys have given me a New Year's resolution. I'm going to try and avoid spoilers. It seems more fun.
Good luck, Rob Innes, because I've seen one on the front of a soap magazine the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, but I...
It is very difficult to avoid, especially hard. If you're making a podcast.
Yeah, but you get them all the time, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, there are still the odd surprises, and I don't go out of my way to try and see them, and it is more fun. Like the thing with Leslie's death, that was much more exciting for me with not knowing it was going to happen.
I've never watched a soap. I mean, not like I have a huge history of watching soaps, but I've never watched a soap having consciously gone out to find spoilers, so I don't really know what it's like to know what's going to happen.
Mm.
But I would imagine that the fun becomes how are they going to do that scene rather than
Yeah.
And also, sometimes it'd be nice to sort of like know you're building up to something exciting.
Mm.
But I mean, usually things don't come out of the blue. It's usually like a wedding or something.
Rob went on to say in another post, I think if Kylie does end up getting pregnant, surely a when rather than an if, it would be much more interesting if they really let it play out. Forget the whole who's the daddy. What if they both know full well? The kid is born and David is convinced it's his. That could happen, but the thing is, as a viewer, we're going to think we know differently. So if Kylie has the baby and she says, oh, it's David's, and David says, oh, it's mine, we're still going to be thinking, is it, though? So I think...
Is it, though?
Even if they don't make it a who's the daddy, and I think it's too much of a temptation to not
have that. Oh, it's going to be who's the daddy.
We're going to still wonder.
It's going to be who's the daddy, and it's going to be... If she is pregnant, who do you think it's going to turn out to be?
I think it'll be David at the end of the day. I really think it'll be David. Because I don't think they want to split that couple up. Not yet, at least, anyway. No. So that's your guys' predictions. If anyone else has got anything else to predict for 2013, write in and let us know. You can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or post on our blog, www.conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can let us know via Twitter, we're at ConversationStrew, or you can search for us on Facebook. That's it for today, and that's it for 2012 Conversation Street. It's been a good half year of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy that it's actually gone on for this long. When we started, we didn't know whether this would be successful or not.
We're just so successful now.
Well,
we've got like dozens of people that listen.
It could have been less successful.
So, well, it's mostly down to you, the support of everybody that, that listens in and takes time to write in and let us know what they think, because it's you guys that keep us going.
Definitely.
Because otherwise we're just talking to a laptop.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody who's contacted us or whatever in any way.
The people who have linked to us and tweeted or retweeted things you said.
Yeah.
That really, really helps.
Yeah. I think the next episode is going to be fairly early next week, because at the weekend we're going to be going up to Manchester for the Corrie Fest.
It's going to be a 2-day, we're going to stop.
Yeah, we're going to leave on Friday to get up there, and then we're going to stop at my parents' house in Coventry on the way. So we're not going to see Friday's Coronation Street until I don't know when.
We're not going to be Sunday, able to maybe. Record it.
So we may do an early episode on Thursday, just with Monday, yeah. Monday and Wednesday's episode. But we shall see. Right. That's it. Happy New Year. And see you in 2013.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The music from this episode is from podcastthemes.com.